In Sunday school, all teachers, superintendents, group captains, if you serve in Sunday school, have a special meeting tonight at 6 o'clock in the chapel. 6 o'clock meeting in the chapel for all Sunday school workers. This is in preparation for Gift Sunday coming up, and we're excited about that. And then Brother Johnny Musgrove, his brother Earl passed away at 4 o'clock this morning in Arkansas, and he wanted me to share that with the church family. So this is Johnny Musgrove's brother passed away this morning. Pray for the family. The choir sung today on Freedom Is Not Free. And that's the title of my message this morning. Is Freedom Is Not Free. We're asking God to touch this. Look at John chapter 8 and verse number 6. Verse 36. John chapter 8, verse number 36. The Word of God says, if the Son, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And I want to preach today on the subject of freedom is not free. Let's pray together. Father, would you bless this service? Thank you for how you've spoken to our heart already. And Lord, we want to bow before you with grateful hearts that we are in the United States of America. And I pray that your hand will be upon this country. I pray that you will keep back the tide of evil. And I pray that the word of God and freedom will ring until the trumpet sounds. And Lord, I pray that you'll touch this service. Help me today. Be with the children's churches and the pathfinders who are in here with us. I pray that you'll speak to them. And help us all to realize the blessing we have to be able to gather today here in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me say loud and clear that I am glad to be an American. This is a great country the Lord has truly blessed in a wonderful way. And this is a country, this is a land where one word rings, and that one word is the word freedom. We in America have freedoms that other parts of the world do not have. And one of these great freedoms we're exercising right now. The freedom to gather in this place to worship the Lord without threat of being ambushed and thrown into jail or even worse. Thank God for the freedom that we have in America. However, it's important for us to remember that this freedom that we're enjoying this morning, it's important to remember that this freedom did not come free. As a matter of fact, freedom is not free. There have been several people the Lord has used down through the years to help make America free. And among these people would be the American soldier. God has used the soldier, some in this very room, to help us have the freedom that we have today. Some have even given their lives that we pay tribute to today to help keep America free. As a matter of fact, there have been several wars in which our citizens, young and old, have participated in to help keep America free. Among these wars, these are just among them, would be things like World War I and II, the Korean War, Vietnam, the Persian Gulf, all the Iraqi wars, and on we could go. In these wars, the Lord has used the soldier to help keep America free. Thank God for the soldiers, the veterans that we honor today, those who are currently serving, and those who have departed and given their life for the cause of freedom. We can ask these dear men and women, those who are still living, if our freedom is free, and they know, many firsthand, that our freedom is not free. And what I want to do is I want to take the American soldier. I want to put he or she on display for all of us to see. And just give you certain things that summarize the American soldier. And how we'll see as we study the American soldier how our freedom is not free. And as we do this, we're going to be making a biblical comparison with the American soldier fighting for the freedom of America. We're going to compare that soldier with the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done to free our soul from all, I'm talking about from an eternity in the lake of fire. Let me say with utmost respect, and I do mean utmost respect, that more important than the freedom of America is the freedom of our soul. Just like the freedom of America takes the sacrifice of others. The freedom of our soul took the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this being the case, again, I want you to stay with me now. I'm going to give you some truths that summarize the American soldier. And we're going to do those same things and apply these to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what the soldier does to keep America free is what the Lord has done to set your soul free. Are you with me? Now, these are simple thoughts, but these are thoughts that will help us appreciate the soldiers, especially on Veterans Day. But more importantly, the biggest goal, the bigger goal, is not to appreciate the veterans more than we appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this being the case, let me give you several things comparing the soldier with the Lord. Number one, the soldier leaves his country. He leaves his home. At least he's willing to do that. And even though some of them may never have to do that, they are willing to do that. And many have done that to give us the freedoms that we have. The soldier leaves his country. He leaves the country he loves and the home. I'm talking about the home and the comforts of his home. He's willing to leave to be able to allow us to enjoy the freedoms that we have today. Not long ago, I spoke to one of our veterans about coming home after his tour of duty. And he said, and I quote, "You can't imagine stepping off the plane knowing your feet are on American soil." You know, in the same way that the American soldier, by the way, we live in the country and we live in places that some of the ungodly people start looking down on our police officers, which we do not hear, amen. And they start looking down on our soldiers, we do not hear, amen. I'm telling you, we thank God for the American soldier. We thank God for what he's doing. And we need to understand something, that he or she is willing to leave this country. They're willing to leave their, I'm talking about their home and the comforts of it, because they want those they love to keep enjoying the freedoms that we have. You know, in the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, also left his country, the country of heaven, to be born in a humble stable some 2,000 years ago. As a matter of fact, don't turn to it. Right here in John chapter 6, beginning with verse 32, here's what it says. "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Here's what he says, verse 38. "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." Jesus said he's the true bread from heaven. He's the bread that was sent from heaven to earth. I'm glad that just like the American soldier, many of them have had to leave their country to ensure the freedoms that we have today. Jesus Christ had to leave his country to come to earth, to become one of us. I'm talking about a human being, so he could bleed and die and set our soul free. Number one, the soldier leaves his home, leaves his country. Number two, he leaves his family. You know, I cannot imagine. I don't even want to imagine. As a matter of fact, I've just had a small glimpse of this when I take mission trips. When I'm gone for, I think the longest I've been gone on a mission trip is 18 days. And it liked to kill me. What I'm saying to you is, no doubt, one of the saddest times in war, and I'm not speaking from experience, but no doubt, one of the saddest times in war has got to be when a dad, a grandfather, a son, a mother, a daughter, a brother, a sister, on and on, is saying goodbye to their loved ones at the airport or a bus station as they get on board to go overseas to help fight for the freedom of those they are leaving behind. You know, there's no doubt that this is one of the hardest things on the soldier, is as he or she leaves their family, not just their country that they love, but the family that they so desperately love, they leave their family behind. What a heart-wrenching feeling that must be, and many of you all have experienced that. And I'm not trying to bring up bad memories here, but I know this, that when I'm taken away from my family for a relatively small amount of time, my heart aches. Now, not to be taken away from Judson. No, I'm just kidding about that, son. You know up there, but all I'm saying to you is this. When I go to India, which I've been, or Thailand, or getting ready to go to Brazil, or over to England, and I leave my family behind, it is a hard time whether you're leaving for 24 hours or 24 months. But the fact of the matter is that the American soldier, I cannot imagine boarding a plane when it's so hard on me to board a plane and I'm going to be gone a week or gone 2 weeks or almost 3 weeks. When that's so hard on me, I can't imagine what a soldier must go through when they're getting on board and realizing it'll be weeks, months, or longer before they see their family again, if they ever do. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. We need not, I'm saying this to us, we need to show an appreciation like we've never shown to our soldiers. You know, I'm glad, by the way, there's a statement made something like this. I don't have the direct quote, but you'll get it. That the soldier does not hate what's in front of him. He loves what's behind him. It's not that they hate the enemy. Now, some of them no doubt probably do, you understand, but that's not the, they don't go, the American soldier does not leave his country and leave his family just to go take care of that. No, he leaves his country and leaves his family because he loves his country, he loves his family, and he does not want a dictator to be put over them where they lose their freedom. You know I'm telling you the truth. And I'm going to say this to us in the same way. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth leaving heaven. And even though I know this is a great mystery that the Father and Son are one, I know that's a great mystery, but we know that He not only left heaven, but He left His Father's side. And I'm telling you that the reason He left His Father's side and left His beautiful country is because He loves you. And He cares about you. The soldier leaves his country, leaves his home. The soldier leaves his family. Number three, the soldier suffers hardship many times. You know, when a soldier leaves home and family to participate in a war overseas, there is no telling what type of hardship he or she faces. Matter of fact, some of you have gone through some things and you may have never even talked about some of the things that you've gone through. I cannot say I know this because I've never been there. But we know that fighting a war is not a bed of roses. It's not a playground. Soldiers many times go through some difficult things during their time on the field. No doubt some go without the luxuries of life, such as running water, a soft bed, a roof over the head. There's no telling. Well, I'm talking about just down through the years what our soldiers have gone through. I'm sure some suffer from disease and potential malnutrition just down through the years. The bottom line is the soldier's not involved in a cakewalk. He's involved in a war. You know, may I say to you that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered greater than any soldier has ever suffered in the history of mankind? May I say to you that when he left heaven and left his Father's side, that he come knowing what he would go through. Matthew 8:20 puts it this way, and Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You know, there came a time in the Lord Jesus' life that he was betrayed by Judas, one of the ones that was closest to him, one of his 12. He was betrayed by Judas. He was arrested under false accusation. That's found in Luke 22, verses 47 to 54. He was denied by one of his own disciples. I'm talking about Peter by name. When Peter denied him 3 times, that's found in Luke chapter 22, verses 55 to 62. When they were dealing with him and just ridiculing him, the Word of God teaches us in Luke chapter 22, verses 63 and 64 that they beat his face. Imagine the Son of God, the lovely Lord Jesus, the eternal Lamb of God, the all-holy, all-righteous Creator God, standing before his own creation and allowing them, without opening his mouth, to come by and beat his holy face. It doesn't stop there. The Bible teaches in Luke 22, 65 that he was spoken to in a blasphemous way. I don't even know what all that means. But they were blaspheming him. The Bible teaches us in Mark chapter 15, verse 15, that they scourged him with the cat of nine tails. My understanding of this particular whip that they would use, it's called the cat of nine tails because it had 9 leather strands coming out of it. And according to my study, they would find things that would emaciate the human skin, like bone or glass, or I've even read where sometimes they would put a lead ball in it, like on the end of it apparently, and they would tie these things within those 9 leather strands. And somehow they would tie the victim up to where his back and his legs were exposed. And a soldier would take that whip and they would come down on the back with those 9 leather things. Can you imagine it just wrapping around the body? And then with all that stuff embedded in it, they would rip it back like this. So it would rip flesh off the body. And they would beat and beat and beat and beat. God only knows how many times they hit the Lord Jesus Christ with that. I know somebody says, well, it was no more than 40. Wait a minute, that was a Jewish thing. The Romans beat our Lord, friends. They have no mercy. They had no mercy. We don't know if it's 40 or 80 or 120. We don't know how many times, but we do know this, that the prophecy in the Old Testament said that his insides would stare upon him. You know what that tells us? That means his inner being would be exposed. Now, folks, we let this go in one and out the other, but I'm going to tell you something. You say, why in the world would he do something like that? Because the American soldier is willing to suffer hardship for himself or herself because he loves his family and loves his country. Jesus Christ went through all of this emaciation because he loves you. He cares about you. He wants you in heaven with him. I'm telling you, the Bible says in Mark 15, 17 through 20, the Bible just simply says this, they mocked him. They mocked him. You know, the Bible sometimes just is very blunt. It just tells you what it is, but then it doesn't tell us exactly what all that means. Like, they mocked him. What's that mean? I don't know. But I know this, it wasn't good. Looking at the American soldier, what about them? They leave their country and their home behind, if need be. They leave their family behind, if need be. They know that there's the potential, and many of them have. I mean, they're going to suffer terrible hardship. What about the Lord? He left his country. He left his father, and he suffered hardship that no man has ever suffered to set you free. Let me give you a fourth thing about the soldier. He's willing to die. He's willing to die. The soldier who leaves his country, leaves his family, and suffers hardship also knows in his heart that he or she may not be coming home. They are willing to lay their life down for the cause that they're fighting for. As a matter of fact, there are many soldiers who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. They have given their own life in a war. You know, in the same way. Now, folks, let this speak to you. The American soldier, it's not a fact that they're going to die in war. It's a possibility. It's a high possibility in certain cases. But it is possible that they will be coming home. The Lord Jesus knew when he left heaven that he would have to die. It wasn't a possibility, it was a necessity. And he knew it. Folks, he not only underwent all those horrific hardships, but he willingly laid down his life on the cross of Calvary. He stretched out his hands willingly to have spikes driven through both hands and a spike driven through his feet. He willingly went through this. John 10, 15 to 18, here's what it said. Here's what Jesus said. He said, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I laid down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Folks, don't you ever think that the Lord was so weak that he just had to die. No, no, no. He willingly gave his back to the spiders. I'm talking about his beard they plucked out by the roots. I didn't even tell you that one. But they plucked his beard out by the roots. That's Isaiah chapter 50 verse 6. They pulled his beard out. They put spikes on his head. I'm talking about spikes through his hands and through his feet. They beat him until he wasn't even... I'm talking about, what we understand is that you wouldn't even identify him, that that's a human being hanging on the cross, and he's hanging there bleeding and dying. But no man killed him. He said, "I came to do this of my own free will." He said, "I willingly laid down my life." He said, "No man taketh my life from me." He said, "I'm doing this. I dismiss my spirit." And he said, "But I'm not going to stay in the grave." 3 days later, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross. He willingly stretched out his arms. He willingly had spikes driven through his hands and feet. And he willingly died. He did all of that because he loves you. Now, folks, when you consider these four things, the soldier leaves his country and home, leaves his family, suffers hardship, and is willing to die. I ask you a question. Why is he willing to go through all of that? Now, I've already answered it, but I want us to come back here, like full circle. Why is the American soldier willing to leave his country? Willing to leave his family? Why is he willing to leave the comforts of his home and suffer hardship? Why is he willing to die in that particular battle and die on foreign soil? As you think about all these questions, the answer that comes to my mind is he's willing to do that for the freedom of those he loves. He's willing to go through all of this, even death, because he wants those he loves to be free. He wants them to live a life of freedom to where a dictator does not place them in bondage. And folks, when you think about all of this and why we sit here today in the great freedoms that we have, it ought to remind us that our freedom did not come for free. The reason, in the same way the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven, left his Father's side, suffered horrific hardship, and died the death of the cross, he did all of that to set those he loves free from the awful bondage of sin. This is why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." See, folks, as I'm starting to come down for a close, we need to understand something. We're all under bondage of sin.
We have all sinned. Romans 3:23 teaches this. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. And if we're left in our sin, then we will pay for our sin for all eternity. And the payment of our sin is death and separation from God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Which means if I get what I deserve, I will not go to live with God for eternity, but I will be sentenced to an eternity without God forever. That's what sin deserves. But God loves us so much that Jesus left His country, left His daddy, His father. He suffered horrifically and He died so that you don't have to pay for your sin. He did that to set you free from the payment of your sin so you can go to heaven and be with Him for all eternity. Romans 6:18 and verses 20 to 23 says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. In other words, if you're left in your sin, you're going to end up death, separation from God. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:15-18, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of by grace, which is by one Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Get this. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the Lord Jesus, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. No wonder John 8:36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Those who are bound in sin, the Lord Jesus Christ has left heaven, suffered awful hardship, died and rose again to set you free. If you reject Him, you will spend eternity separated from Him in a place called hell, cast ultimately into the lake of fire, Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And may I say this to you? The worst thing about hell is God is not there. The worst thing about hell is that you, if you go there, will be separated from the God who loves you so much that He died to set you free. I'm telling you. On the other hand, if you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to be your Lord and Savior, and to set you free, let me tell you what He says. Romans 10:9-13. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Here's what He says. For whosoever, that means anybody, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you have never trusted Christ, you are in bondage to your sin. And if you die like that, you will never be set free. But you will pay for your sin for all eternity. That's why it'll never be paid for, because you cannot fully, completely, totally wipe out your sin debt. It's impossible. So you'll pay for it for all eternity by being separated from the God of love forever. But if you today say, I know I'm lost, or I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I see it, brother. I see it, pastor. I see it that I'm a sinner. And if I'm left in my sin, I'll die without Christ. But I understand now that Jesus left heaven. He left His Father's side. He suffered and bled and died for me. I see that. I believe that. And I want to ask Him into my heart. I promise you something. If you ask Him into your heart, He'll save you today. He'll set you free today. He's not going to suffer all of that and then look at you and say, I don't think so. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There may be one here who has served to help free our country, but you are yet to be free from your own sin. Let me be your best friend and say Jesus loves you. He cares about you. And He died to set you free. He's just waiting on you. You with me this morning? Amen. Are you glad for the American soldier? Amen. Who's willing to leave their country so you can be free? Are you glad for the American soldier who is willing to leave those that are closest to him, those he loves so much, so that those same people that he leaves behind can still be free? Aren't you glad for the American soldier who is willing to suffer hardship and go without the comforts of this life so you can keep having the comforts of this life? Aren't you glad for the American soldier who has sacrificed their life? All those crosses and all those monuments, and they've sacrificed, they've given their blood, they've sacrificed their life on foreign soil so you and I can gather here today with no threat of government interference. That's a blessing, friends. That's an honor. And we thank God for the American soldier. But oh, there's somebody so much greater than the American soldier. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, who left heaven, left His Father's side, went through all that horrific hardship, stretched out His hands, bled, and died because He loves you and He loves me. Let's be honest. The American freedoms are ringing clear right now. In other words, they're still here. But there's the possibility that they'll be taken away. I hope not. I pray not. But we can lose this freedom. Amen? But the freedom that Jesus gives is for all eternity. He wants to set you free today. By the way, if He already has, just like we salute the flag, we ought to say, Lord Jesus, thank You, sir. Thank You for what You've done for me. And we ought to give our life to spreading this message around this lost and dying world. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we, Father? Would You bless this now? Touch it. Speak to our hearts. Help somebody to be saved on these grounds, whether it's a child, a teenager, an adult. Thy will be done. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. When I asked, unless it's absolutely necessary that there be no movement. And today say, Pastor Jody, I'm glad. I'm glad I have been set free by Jesus. When you do this and you respond to this, you say, you're telling me that you are born again, you've trusted Christ, you know you're saved, you know you're born again, you don't hope you are, you don't think you are, you know you are. You know you're going to heaven because you put your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. If you know you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. You can put your hand down. They begin to play through softly. By the way, isn't it great to be able to raise your hand to that question? Isn't it great to know that you're going to heaven? Folks, the only way you can raise your hand to that is because Jesus did what He did for you. And there ought to be something in your heart on this Veterans Day when we salute all of our veterans. Why don't we salute the greatest soldier of all time? It's the Lord Jesus. who died and fought the battle for our soul himself and won the victory over death, over the devil, over hell, over the grave. He sets us free. If you're here today and could not raise your hand to that, but there's something in you that says, boy, I wish I could. I could not raise my hand saying, I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. But I'll tell you this, Pastor, I sure wish I could raise my hand to that. I couldn't, but I want to. I realize that I need Jesus. I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ. And I know that He came to set me free. And today, I'd like for Him to do that for me. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. But I would like to pray for you. Is there somebody say, pray for me, Pastor? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I want to know. I want to know I'm saved. I want to know I'm born again. If that's you, would you quietly, quickly, would you put your hand in the air with mine? Anybody like that? You say, pray for me. Upstairs in the balcony down below, you say, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I don't know that I'm saved, but I sure do wish I did. I sure do want to be. I want to know for sure that heaven's my home. Put your hand up. Put it right back down. Is there anybody like that here? Let me ask you this question. You say, Pastor Jody, I'm a Christian. I know the Lord. But I know somebody who's not. I know somebody who's still in bondage to sin. And I know that God wants to use me to try to tell them about Jesus. And would you pray for me that I will have the boldness and the obedience to tell them at least one more time that Jesus loves them? Have you God speaking to you that way? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God help us. God help all of us. I raise my hand with you on that. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Let me do the invitation this way. We're here today to pay honor and tribute to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're also honoring our veterans. If you're a veteran, and I believe all of you know the Lord by your raised hand and your admission, I'm going to tell you something. God's used you to help keep us free, but God sets you free. It'd be great to see a lot of veterans responding, thanking the Lord for their salvation. Today, I just want to ask you. I'm going to pray and ask Brother Gary to begin to sing. And as he begins to sing, why don't we just have a Thanksgiving service to the Lord? Just coming to say thank you. Whether you come to the altar or not, let's just take just a little bit just to say thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. Hey, it's good to thank the American soldiers. Amen. It's good to say thank you for fighting for my freedom. That's appropriate. You ought to do that. We ought to do that. But we ought to thank Jesus for the freedom He's given to our souls and live a life to prove it and back it up. Father, would you take it, would you use it, and would you receive glory today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand together, please. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If you just want to come to say thank you to God as he sings, would you come now? Come on, please.
When I saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all my sin, I obeyed the Spirit's wooing when He said, wilt thou be clean? I will praise Him, I will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the Three. Praise Him. the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each day.
Let's sing that verse one more time, Brother Gary. Nobody else comes, we're done.
Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the Three.
Lift your voice if you know it. Give the Lord the glory. Do his name today.
I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain.
You can look this way. They're playing through a couple of instructions, two or three instructions. Remind all the Sunday school workers of the meeting at 6 o'clock tonight. Be right in your place in the chapel. If you're visiting with us, please take your visitor's card out through the lobby. Drop it off to Welcome Center. We'll have a special gift for you. Please take advantage of that. Even if you didn't fill out a card, I wish you'd just go by and get your free gift. I mean that. And then all veterans on your way out, straight in front of me, all the way to the back, there's a table. Well, there's a special gift for you. If you'll just come by that table, grab your gift, and you can go. Thank you for being here. Be back tonight at 6:30 right in your place. That'll be a good thing. Brother Marty Scroggs, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us, sir, please.